Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, I guess the next question I have for you is, as we speak, the president has come out with a new proposal that circumvents Congress on overtime and how to pay for overtime. I wonder if you've got any thoughts on that.
Well, I'm not familiar with the details on it, but here's what's happening. You've got a Congress that is just say no. I mean, Mr. Sure. Boehner won't bring up the immigration bill. He won't put on the floor the minimum wage bill, all right? And he's got the power to block consideration, even though I think it's pretty close to an abuse of power not to allow the House to work its will on an issue of major national concern. So what's the president do? And the president is saying, well, he's going to use the executive powers that he has. And my view is that Congress should act where it has responsibility to do so. And the executive, not just Obama, but any other president, is entitled to use the authorities that he has, but not ones that he doesn't. And what you're seeing in Congress is a kind of a whining by folks like the Speaker, who refuse to act, even take up the minimum wage vote, let us vote one way or the other and then be accountable to the people we represent, and then complaining when the president does something that's within the power of the president to do. For instance, like on the minimum wage, the president has authority to say on contracts from the federal government that there'll be a requirement that the bidders pay the minimum wage. He can do that. A governor could do that. It's sour grapes, really, I think, on the part of Mr. Boehner to be complaining that the president is doing something and not just capitulating to his just-say-no roadblock strategy.
Now, you know that I am philosophically aligned and respectful of your positions. However, I do want to ask you something that seems to me to be the right thing to ask you, and that is, if it were a Republican president pushing some kind of conservative nonsense, would you be saying the same thing, up or down vote, if Nancy Pelosi, for example, were the speaker and saying, no, you can't, we're not going to put this on the floor?
Well, you know, there's limits on this. And there's a kind of rule of reason where there's got to be some, in a democracy, respect for restraint. And let me give an example. Immigration reform. That's an issue where all the polls show Americans know we've got to act. And there is a majority of people who support us taking action on immigration reform. And Mr. Boehner, so this is an issue of enormous consequence to our economy, to the lives of a lot of people in this country, to our farmers in Vermont. And he's not even allowing us to take this up because he believes will create some headaches for the Republicans in the elections. Now, is that a reasonable thing to do? You know, at a certain point, whether it's Pelosi or whether it's Boehner, an issue bubbles up to such urgent concern that you've got to do, in the words of John Boehner, let the House work its will. So there's some politics here, obviously, in my assessment of what bills might be ones that are urgent would be different, say, than my Republican counterparts or Mr. Boehner. But on major things like where the minimum wage hasn't been raised since the Reagan years, and where immigration reform, everybody knows, is an urgent matter, and you just put it off for political considerations, no, I disagree with that.
Let's stay with immigration reform for a minute more. Boehner said that he would take it up. Now he says he won't take it up. What's going on?
He's getting pushback from his colleagues.
His more conservative colleagues.
His conservative colleagues, and this is really one of the problems we have with all these gerrymandered districts in the country, and it's a tough problem for my Republican colleagues. And by the way, I really have a lot of respect for a lot of them individually. When I talk to them, they know that we can do things, for instance, together on energy efficiency, and they might even be willing to do something on immigration reform. But if they're in a very, very gerrymandered district where if they do something even close to reasonable, they get hammered in a primary and likely lose and fear a Tea Party type of challenge, they back off. And that's really what's at stake here. So part of our problem is the extreme gerrymandering that has happened in this country after the last elections.
Is there any way out of that? I mean, you know, these are state issues, of course.
There is a way out. Okay. I mean, there is a way out. I wish we'd take it. I don't see that we will in this Congress. But the way out of it is to support the legislation that would have the redistricting for congressional districts done by nonpartisan commissions rather than by a self-serving state legislature.
But this would be state by state. In other words, New York would have to do it, Massachusetts.
That's right. You know, they do it in Iowa, and they do it in California, and it's working. You know, the politicians don't like it because it doesn't break things up to their advantage. But the public likes it. They get better choices, and they get candidates who understand that their responsibility is to everybody they represent, just not that narrow, a very liberal or very, very conservative wing. I mean, I think this gerrymandering is a real problem, impeding our ability to make reasonable and principled compromises.
Well, I certainly agree with that. However, Felix Frankfurter, all those years ago, the famous justice, said that the Supreme Court should stay out of the political thicket. They say, okay, by saying that, gerrymandering is all right. You know, and the Congress, obviously, since it's a state problem, can't do it unless you...
No, we could do it. The Congress could pass legislation. I'm a co-sponsor of legislation. We have authority with respect to congressional elections. So we couldn't mess with how the state elects state reps, and that is a state issue. But on the congressional districts, then Congress does have authority.
They could sort of refuse to seat somebody because they came from an obviously gerrymandered district?
No. We couldn't do that. I don't know if we technically could do it, but that would be unwise.
Okay.
But every 10 years when there's redistricting, the state capitals are the ones, by and large, that write the districts.
Right.
And they write them totally for the benefit of their party. And by the way, it's both Democrats and Republicans trying to get some leverage and advantage here. But, you know, the bottom line is that it's gotten so out of hand that you're getting these boutique districts that create this immense problem where the representative is paying attention only to an extreme point of view rather than all of the people that he represents or she represents. So my view is that the ideal would be that Congress or the states, I mean, I'd much prefer to see it but state by state, let them do it. But if they don't, I support legislation where you'd have nonpartisan commissions setting the congressional districts, and that would be a nonpartisan commission in the states. It would be a New York-based commission or an Iowa-based commission or a California-based position. So you'd respect the states doing it, but you'd give the power to citizens who would be focused on what's good for their state as opposed to party leaders that we're making it based on what's good for our party.
Now, that's fascinating. Are you sure the Supreme Court would say okay to that?
Well, you never know until they get there, but we've got the legislation here, and I do believe that would be constitutional. You let the state have established the commission, but basically you're taking the responsibility away from the politicians in the state and giving it to the citizens.
What, you mean the politician doesn't have a Cousin Louis he could put on the reapportionment committee?
Well, they could do that. I mean, there's always ways to game it. But, you know, where it's been done, Iowa and California, it's really fully embraced, and the people in those states are very proud of it.
Sure.
They really feel that they have much more control. And by the way, you know, this is one of the things, there's always a danger in democracy that if the politicians rig the system so it just works for them, that people lose faith in the system. And, of course, that's happening a lot with these two things in politics now. One is the gerrymandering, and the other is, of course, the enormous amount of money. And the post-Citizens United, it's not just a lot of money that goes into the campaign. It's these outside groups, the Koch brothers or George Soros or whoever, that has so much money that they create their own party, in effect. And it just has a lot of folks throwing their hands up saying, what's the point? So, you know, in order to keep democracy vital and fresh and responsive, the more you can connect the people to the process, the better prospects you have to make democracy work for the people.
I love talking to Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont at large, the only congressman in all of Vermont. A lot of power, and I must say, I always learn something from you, Peter, and I appreciate your being here.
Thank you.